Company culture isn't this amorphous thing. I know sometimes we talk about it as if it is, but good company culture is rooted in real specific habits. The companies leading the way are the ones who put in the work day after day, year after year, to build and maintain the culture that they want. When you sit down with corporate leaders from companies that are really intentional about their culture, you'll find that unfortunately, there just isn't an easy button. It takes a consistent commitment and a real willingness to evolve. Because company culture isn't something you can nail once and then forget about. It takes upkeep and a real commitment to listening to employees. Microsoft is a great example of a corporation at the forefront of this space, and they're one of those companies that everyone looks to as a North Star. Karen Bergen is the Senior Director of Employee Engagement and Disaster Response at Microsoft. She's helped create a model for employee engagement that puts giving and volunteering at the core of their purpose and strategy. And companies of all sizes can learn a lot from the way Microsoft has built their programs and their reputation. Well, welcome to Impact Audio. I am Sam Kaplan, Vice President of Social Impact at Submittable, and with me today is Karen Bergen from Microsoft Corporation, more specifically from Microsoft Philanthropies, and that's the social impact arm of Microsoft that's dedicated to advancing digital inclusion, nonprofit capacity building, and tech for social good. Karen leads employee engagement at Microsoft, where she's responsible for programs like employee volunteering and giving and matching. And by the way, those programs are the biggest in the world. In 2023, donations from Microsoft employees, together with the Microsoft Match, raised $250 million, supporting nearly 35,000 organizations, and employees logged over 1 million volunteer hours to support nonprofits and causes that they care about. That's pretty incredible, and I cannot wait to get this conversation started. So, Karen, welcome to Impact Audio.
Hi, Sam. Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
I am super excited that we're having this conversation. I'm so intrigued and enamored with everything that's happening at Microsoft Philanthropies, and I can't wait to just dive into it. So why don't we start? Like, tell us a little bit about you and your role at Microsoft Philanthropies.
Thank you. Well, as you said, I'm the Senior Director of Employee Engagement and Disaster Response. And that means that I oversee our employee volunteering and giving programs, which, you know, again, you said this, are some of the largest in the world. And my team and I, like, we're dedicated to empowering employees to make positive impact through various initiatives, including disaster response and community engagement.
Karen, give us an overview of Microsoft's employee engagement program. So sketch a blueprint for us that others can follow along with. So if I were a Microsoft employee, what would I be able to do, Karen, in terms of volunteering and giving and matching?
One of my favorite quotes is from Walt Disney, and that is, if you can dream, you can do it. And we take that approach. So when it comes to employee engagement, we really try to offer a world-class experience to givers who truly want to make the world a better place for others. But we don't just leave it at dreaming. We put action behind it. And so our employee engagement programs are designed with flexibility and empowerment in mind so that our employees can engage in ways that align with their passions. So from employee giving to volunteerism, from disaster response to local community projects, it's all part of a broader mission to not only give, but also to inspire and probably even more importantly, to empower. To get to some of the tactics and to answer your question in more detail, employees can participate in the Microsoft Give Match program, where donations are matched on a one-to-one basis up to $15,000 per calendar year. Additionally, volunteer time is matched at $25 per hour. And then, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, we see, of our 228,000 employees, we see participation rates of over 50%. And then, you know, you mentioned the 1 million hours. When you equate that to years, that's like 117 years, which just, I think, is a much more impressive way of saying it. And then in April last year, we reached the extraordinary milestone of $3 billion raised over the history of the program, which included the Microsoft Match.
Yeah, those numbers are pretty astounding. I mean, they're huge. And the one number that you mentioned, Karen, that really jumped out at me is that 50% engagement. Like, in my experience, You know, I think the industry average for corporations across the board tends to be somewhere around like 20-ish% engagement in these programs. And we tend to see like higher engagement, but with smaller corporations. And so being like one of the largest corporations in the world, to be at 50% engagement just is incredible. Like, can you shed some light? Like, you talked about inspiring employees. Like, why do you think it is that Microsoft employees are so willing to give their time and their donations to nonprofit organizations to reach that 50% level?
It's a question I get asked so often, and to this day I don't have a very succinct answer to it. I think it's for many reasons. I think it's fair to say that our employees care. I think it's fair to say that they show up. And whether that's through checkbook philanthropy, which is part of our employee giving program, or through volunteering their hours, which again, of course, has $25 per hour for the nonprofit associated with it. Board service is something that many of our employees are passionate about. And then we just launched a skills-based volunteer program a number of months ago, specifically to help nonprofits learn more about how to harness the power of AI. And then we also have this robust disaster response program where we help to empower first responders, government agencies, nonprofits, and customers. And all of that to say that it's a very wide portfolio. And we have created it so that if employees want to make a difference, there are a multitude of manners in which they can do so. And so, we are lucky in that we work for a corporation that'll provide a one-to-one match.
And that's really kind of like what this is all about. I mean, this is, employee engagement at the end of the day from a corporate perspective. It's like great for us to like achieve some sort of social impact in the world and make a real difference in our communities. And that's a given. But like part of this is also about like actually creating real, authentic, genuine employee engagement where employees, are more prone to stay with the corporation because they feel inspired by these types of programs. And it really sounds like Microsoft has kind of figured out culturally, how to make employee engagement and giving and matching and board service and volunteerism like a real part of the culture so that it actually really like authentically engages employees.
I have to say, I would agree with that. And also, we are constantly trying to be where employees are, or we're trying to think about where might they go, what trends are we seeing, what's happening in the industry, is there greater interest in this type of activity or that type of activity, is there something for everybody, can people do it remotely? That definitely is something that happened, unsurprisingly, as a result of COVID. We had to pivot in-person volunteering to a different form of volunteering, and one of the great things about virtual or remote is that it's automatically more inclusive. And so we have kept a very strong component of virtual/remote in all of our programming now. And so we've had tremendous feedback on that, and we will continue it.
So you've talked about the types of programs that you've had. I'd love to hear a little bit about the sort of impact that these programs are making. Like, do you have any data that you can share from, maybe last year?
Well, before I look back, let me, if you don't mind, look forward, because April, this is a big year for us. In April, Microsoft turns 50. And so it's always tempting for me to reflect on, the legacy. This is a company that revolutionized personal computing, advanced productivity tools like Microsoft Office, and redefines gaming through Xbox. When we focus on what's ahead, if you think artificial intelligence that enhances productivity and creativity while emphasizing responsibility, fairness, and transparency, undertaking bold new initiatives to solve, various crises. We have an affordable housing crisis, for example, here in Seattle. And then really trying to redefine how to help those in need. And it's an opportunity for us now to look to the future, to look ahead to the next quarter of a century. What's our 75th birthday going to look like in the year 2050? I mean, we were recently honored, thrilled to say, by Seattle Magazine on its most influential list for an outsized influence that we've had across the globe. And it's the first time an organization has appeared on that. During the past 5 decades, Microsoft and employees, as I mentioned, have contributed more than $3 billion across the globe. And again, to get to your question, in 2024, we saw our programs continuing to have a significant impact. We saw an increase in employee participation and donations, you know, further solidifying our commitment to social good. And I think that the collective efforts of our employees have supported numerous organizations and causes, making a real tangible difference in communities all around the world. And in fact, we expanded our program, our employee giving program, 3 years ago so that all eligible employees can avail of the same benefits that US employees do. And last year in 2024, we continue to see an increase in international participation, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I for sure want to like touch back on this sort of this topic of like culture at Microsoft. So tell me how the employee engagement programs really are so important to Microsoft in terms of that culture.
You know, I heard somebody say recently that Microsoft isn't just a company. It's 228,000 people who work for Microsoft around the world. And as you know, I'm thrilled to say that more than 50% of whom participate in our program, those people are a reflection of the giving program and a culture that we work to develop and encourage year after year. And along the way, something extraordinary is happening. It's reflected in the generosity, I think, of an employee population that's so connected, you know, with our hometown and so many other communities. It took 20 years for the company's giving campaign to generate $10 million cumulatively, including the company match. That happened in 1995. 17 years later, we became the second company in history, after UPS, to reach the 1 billion threshold of giving, including the company match. That was in 2013. And only 7 years later, we became the first company to reach 2 billion. And only 4 years after that, last year, we reached 3 billion.
That is pretty impressive scale. Like, do you think that, you know, what are you anticipating? Do you think you can continue that sort of growth with the giving programs?
I will say that nobody can predict the future. I would say that if giving continues at the rate that we are seeing, yeah, I think that our employees, together with the, you know, the very generous corporate match, will continue to drive impact and across some of the toughest, you know, challenges we're facing around the world. So I do predict that giving will continue to be extremely strong.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned challenges. I'm really intrigued by the kind of challenges that you face as you're experiencing this sort of scale and growth. Like, can you tell me about any of them?
Yeah. And very transparently, when you're expanding a program like an employee giving program, and which, you know, includes volunteerism, to do that, to scale that around the world was quite a project. And, you know, it required, for example, an extensive legal review, often at the country by country level, because you can't volunteer in some countries and you can in others. And we ask ourselves the same questions, I'm sure, that you do and your company and many of your listeners do. And that's, what's the perfect blend of global and local? Is it better to have top-down engagement or employee-led or somewhere in between? And so we've had to ensure that our initiatives were inclusive and relevant to employees in lots of different regions. And so those are some of the opportunities, I like to call them, that we continue to look at.
So I know that Microsoft is really closely aligned with OpenAI, which has been a leader in AI development for a long time now. With the company actively incorporating artificial intelligence across all of its products, like in the form of Copilot, has your organization begun to think about how AI is going to influence the work that Microsoft Philanthropies does?
Absolutely. It's hard to believe that today we have more than a billion customers around the world. It really is hard to believe. And it's hard to believe that we'll spend more than $75 billion this fiscal year alone building out AI data center infrastructure in the United States and around the world. And as we look to the future and when we, you know, we think about artificial intelligence, we know that in the quarter century ahead, AI will change the economy. So therefore, as part of that, it's critical to equip people with the skills and the capabilities that they're going to need in order to be successful. And that's why we're focused on AI education, not only at the K-12 level, but for community colleges and for four-year institutions and in partnerships with organized labor and apprenticeship programs. We know we can do more. We will do more. And I think whether it's connecting employees with nonprofit organizations or optimizing our matching programs, AI is helping us scale giving efforts in ways we couldn't have imagined even just 5 years ago.
And, like, tell me about you, Kieran. What have you learned personally over the course of all of these changes?
I have learned a lot, Sam. I have learned the importance of adaptability and continuous learning. And, you know, in my opinion, the landscape of the work that we do, you know, corporate social impact, is constantly evolving, and it's crucial to stay informed and open to new ideas. I've also learned the value of collaboration and the power of collective action in driving meaningful change.
And has your background impacted or informed any of those lessons?
Yeah, you know, I would say that my background in PR and internal comms has been instrumental in shaping my approach to employee engagement. It's taught me the importance of clear communication, storytelling, and building strong relationships. And those, I will honestly say, those skills have been invaluable in helping to drive the way we do some of what we do.
I love it. I've heard you describe Microsoft's internal workplace culture as one of learning. Explain to me what you mean by this, like in the context of employee engagement programs.
It means that we are always trying to analyze what's happening in our employee base. Where are we seeing, like, is volunteerism suddenly up? If so, why is it up? Is it up in a country? Okay, what are they doing in that country that's driving an increase in their engagement there? And the culture is, like, it's just absolutely fascinating to be part of it, I have to say. The listening, I think listening, you know, is, I think is critical to learning, and always striving to be better, never settling for the status quo is key to it as well. And so we do, I listen, I spend a lot of time with employees. I spend a lot of time talking with them, listening to them. I work with leaders across the company. So it's about being curious, asking questions, seeking out new perspectives. And also, you know, it means being willing to take risks and learn from failures, knowing that every experience brings valuable lessons. And that's the beauty of a learning organization, because as they say, if you're not evolving, you're stagnating.
Yeah. And is there a program you were part of running that you would maybe do a little bit differently based on some of the lessons that you've learned over time?
Yes, there have been lots of learnings. They keep coming. And one of the biggest is about the power of communications, both from a content and a cadence point of view. I have learned that an email is not communication. I've learned to be scientific about what we say, when we say it, how we say it, and where we say it. I've learned that one must pay attention to internal websites or Teams doorways and to have the right amount of content, but not too many of them, because it makes it really confusing to and hard to access information. And that's probably my biggest learning, to make things as simple, straightforward, and accessible as possible. So focusing on content diffusion is something that I spent a lot of time thinking about every day.
That makes sense. And also in one of our previous discussions, you talked about the difference between, like, a top-down sort of thou shalt give to nonprofits approach versus something that's more bottoms-up or grassroots. I'm wondering if you can just expand on that a little bit for the audience.
For sure. Some companies provide matching for causes that they care about, though that's less the norm. And others have totally open programs. Most corporations do both. We do both. So we believe in an employee-led approach where employees have the autonomy to choose the causes that they care about if they're eligible for our program. And then that just fosters, I think, a sense of ownership and personal connection. And we support that with a top-down or strategically curated approach, such as in disaster response giving, where we choose nonprofits who are having the greatest impact on issues or specific situations. And just to give you an example of that, for COVID-19, we took that approach and we raised almost $43 million with the Microsoft match for nonprofits around the world. And then if I take the employee basis, there's the Microsoft CAT calendar to give you an idea of employee-led giving. And that's where a group of employees who love cats and wanted to provide funding for a local humane society, they got together and they created a Microsoft CAT calendar. Well, the CAT calendar is so popular that every month now has a different day for a different cat. And there are many Microsoft CAT calendars. And that brings in over $100,000 a year to the humane societies, and so our feline rescue societies. And that would be a great example of where you have passionate employees who care about a cause. In this instance, it's cats. We also have a dog calendar, because a lot of dog-loving people at Microsoft too. So it's just great to see the creativity and the fun happening, all for good. I heard of a group of employees recently who did a soul cycle, like spin for good. I'm like, that's got a nice ring to it.
Karen, one thing I wanted to ask is that we've talked about this figure, 228,000 employees, and it's just incredible. And so, you know, over the course of the conversation here, you've talked about like the importance of listening. And I'm just super curious, like what kinds of systems do you need to have in place and how do you listen to so many employees?
Yeah, it's a really important point. And I think it's fair to say that listening to such a large number of employees requires robust systems and processes. We use a combination of surveys, feedback platforms, direct communications channels, and others to gather input from employees. And we also have dedicated teams that analyze this feedback and ensure that it informs our programs and initiatives. I mean, Power BI is an amazing tool that I check in with many times a day in terms of how are things going. I think it's key. I really think it's key. I don't think you run a program on an island. I think you have to be, in my opinion, as inclusive as you can be, to at least know the various different views of, you know, a very diverse employee base.
Yeah, and I love how you've mentioned several times now how, you know, Microsoft actually incorporates technology where it can to like improve these programs and to analyze and understand. I think that makes perfect sense. So just as a quick follow-up to that, I know that like not all companies have 228,000 employees out there. Like, what do you think about in terms of how small and mid-sized businesses can also learn from your approach?
I think that smaller and mid-sized businesses can learn the importance of creating a culture of listening and continuous improvement. And even with fewer resources, in my opinion, I think it's critical. I think it's crucial to prioritize employee feedback so that you can make data-driven decisions. Building strong relationships with employees or employee communities is important. And, you know, I'm still to this day a big fan of focus groups and attending them so I can hear the conversation. And they're cheap and quick to do. With good prep and some pizza, you know, you can learn a lot in an hour. And so I still will do focus groups with new hires and go, okay, what do you think? What should we do differently? We're doing this. What do you think? What if you were me, what would you do?
The secret is definitely the pizza. Like, you bring pizza to a meeting, I am totally there.
You're guaranteed participation. Yes.
I'd love to hear if you have an example in mind of a time when employee feedback maybe helped shape a program or, you know, what that feedback loop looked like.
Yeah. When I first began leading this program, this team, one of my observations is that our volunteer numbers were lower than I thought that they would be. And so we asked our employees, do you volunteer? If so, why and when? And then we asked employees who didn't volunteer, what's holding you back? And the feedback, and this was in a focus group, the feedback was, it's too time consuming. So, and I'm going back 8 years here. It's too time consuming. Even if I leave my office and get into my car and go downtown and I park my car, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's 3.5-4 hours out of my day. I don't have that kind of time. So we decided that we would bring nonprofits to our employees. And so we created an on-campus micro-volunteering program. So in 1 hour, Microsoft employees can leave their office and come to an event that we have organized in just 1 hour, and they can do good in an hour. So micro-volunteering will be a direct example of where we really heard what was stopping people from volunteering their time.
I love it. It sounds like such a elegant and simple solution to a challenge that so many corporations have. And in one of our planning conversations, Karen, you and I had talked about how for the first time ever, there are 5 generations in the workplace. That's kind of mind-blowing. I would love to hear what challenges, what opportunities does this present, having 5 generations in the workplace at once?
Yeah, I mean, I think it provides you know, both challenges and opportunities, the diversity of perspective and experiences can lead to innovative solutions and a richer work environment. But I also think it requires us to be mindful of different communication styles and preferences and needs, and to provide opportunities for intergenerational collaboration. I think we can harness the strengths of each generation. I think it's amazing that we've got five generations of people in the workplace for the first time.
I think it's incredible also. Like, how do you define and measure the workforce or workplace engagement across so many generations? Is that a challenge?
You know, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that I do it through my team in terms of, oh, this generation or that generation or that generation. I mean, we are able to analyze a lot. I mean, we can analyze to a building level in terms of participation. And we also look at qualitative data too, in terms of employee stories and testimonials, to understand the impact of different programs across, you know, different generations. I mentioned, you know, working with our new hires early on. They're not always younger, but quite often they are. And again, asking them, okay, you have a perception of employee giving. I mean, we present to them on day one of their time joining the company through our new employee orientation, and we share, you know, our give program and how they can engage. And we get tremendous engagement as a result of very tactically showing up on the very first day that they join our company.
Again, I think it's a great example of like establishing this culture of employee engagement and volunteering and giving across the organization. It's really cool. Do you have any thoughts on like how we, and when I say we, I mean like the whole CSR sector, can do a better job of helping employees understand that impact that their giving is making? So we talk a lot about like total dollars that are donated, but how do we help employees really understand the real world impact that their dollars are making?
This is not an easy one to answer. I think everybody struggles, you know, figuring out how best to do that. And I won't tell you that I think we've got it completely sorted. We don't. We're still learning and trying to do better. I think it's important to go beyond the numbers and share the stories behind the impact. And I think we can do that by highlighting specific projects, sharing testimonials from beneficiaries, providing regular updates on the progress and the outcomes of funded initiatives. And I think if we can connect employees more to the real world impact of their contributions, we can foster a deeper sense of purpose and motivation. I think you can do it. I had this thought in preparing for this. I think you can do that upfront, or you can do it afterwards, or you could do it in the beginning. Let me give you an example. We ran a fundraiser a number of years ago that was for a local nonprofit here in Seattle called Plymouth Housing. And they were building a new building, and each one needed a refrigerator. So we had a fund a refrigerator campaign. We put up the cost of a refrigerator, and we said, if you buy one, Microsoft doubles that. Therefore, you're buying two refrigerators. That was one of the fastest selling, air quotes, fundraisers we've ever done. So the specificity of what the impact would be upfront definitely drove traction. And then a story that I heard recently that I thought was very, very, very clever is one of my colleagues donated blood, and he got an email from, it's one of our local blood banks here, telling him the date and the time that his donation of blood was used. I thought that was genius. So that's an example of impact reporting. Oh, it's two different examples of impact reporting. It's certainly something that I would love to do more and do better.
Couple more questions for you here before I run out of time with you, Karen. So I'd love to hear what Microsoft Philanthropies is doing to bridge the digital divide, especially in those underserved communities.
Yeah, Microsoft Philanthropies is committing to bridging the digital divide through many different initiatives. And you mentioned actually a number of those up front, Sam, in your introduction to me. You know, we focus on, as I said, AI skills access and, you know, skills training, access to technology, resources to underserved communities. We have a wealth of different, you know, tools and resources that can help empower individuals. And the goal, of course, is to create more equitable opportunities and to drive positive change. So we have a whole team of people based here in Redmond and around the world who wake up and every day that's their job is to think about those goals.
And for my last question for you, Karen, like, Microsoft makes such a huge impact for so many nonprofits and communities and employees. Like, do you lay in bed at night just nervous about getting it right?
You know, if I said that I never worried about getting it right, I don't think I should be doing the job that I'm doing. You know, the next person who's sitting in this seat, what will they do that's better than what I'm doing? Am I missing something? So there's a level of responsibility and pressure, I suppose you could say, to get it right. But it's incredibly motivating. And you know, to go back what I said, I mean, like, we are constantly learning. The great thing about working at Microsoft, you are encouraged to constantly learn. And so we're trying to adapt programs to make sure that they're effective and impactful. And when I see the participation levels and the support and the dedication of our employees and partners, that gives me great confidence to continue, you know, striving for excellence. And I think that's where the magic happens, whether it's through Storyteller or data-driven impact reports. We're committed to showing our employees just how powerful their contributions are. And, you know, I think bridging the digital divide, especially in underserved communities, is something we take very, very seriously. We're committed to bringing access to technology and to AI to the people who need it the most. And after all, every community should have access to the tools they need to thrive. And it's part of our mission to help make that happen.
Karen Bergen, this has been one of the most delightful and enlightening and engaging conversations I think I've had on Impact Audio. So thank you so much for all of the incredible insights. I'm taking so much away that you said and applying it to my own company and my own work and my own thought leadership. And I know that the audience is going to feel like this has just really, really been super helpful and it will resonate with them as well. So thank you a ton for coming on with me and can't wait to have our next conversation.
Thank you, Sam. It's been my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
One of the things I really appreciate about how Microsoft operates is that they run these big successful programs and they're always willing to share their knowledge. They're not just interested in propelling themselves forward, they want to bring the whole social impact sector along with them. They want all of us to benefit from the lessons they've learned. So in more than one way, they're setting a great example for the rest of us. Thanks for tuning into Impact Audio, produced by your friends at Submittable. Until next time.